Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares makes an urgent appeal.
There'll be parts of your theology you will not have fully nutted by the time you become a Christian. But I'm saying this, you better throw yourself on the mercy of God if you know you got a sin problem. And the only way you can deal with that is to have someone else deal with it. And the one who deals with it is the eternal Son of God. Put your trust in Him and do it today. Because here's the deal, the light, it's going away.
It's tempting to think we'll have plenty of time to figure out a solution to our sin problem later. But the reality is, you and I don't know when that day will come, and eternity may start sooner than you expect. Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares shares a sobering reminder that judgment is coming. Are you ready? I'm Dave Drewy. Glad you're with us for the conclusion of a message called Rethinking Death, Life, and Eternity. Mike's picking up in John chapter 12, starting in verse 31.
Go to the middle here of this chapter in John 12. But take a look at it beginning in verse number 31, as Jesus puts it this way. Now, speaking of his death, now is the judgment of this world, right? That the ruler of this world will be cast out. And when's that going to happen? When I'm lifted up from the earth and I'll draw all people to myself. There'll be some people that are not under the jurisdiction of this tempter anymore. And he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Remember, he was going to be hoisted up on this tall, you know, looked like a big railroad tie, only longer. And he was going to be nailed to it. He was going to bleed on it. He was going to bleed out and suffocate on it. This cross, we call it. We gild it and put it around our neck and use it as a logo for Christianity. But it's really heinous. It's a Roman torture rack. He's lifted up, hoisted up, completely naked, nude on a cross, bleeding after being beaten by Roman soldiers. And he's lifted up. And he says, if I'm lifted up like that, right, I'm going to draw people to myself. What a weird thing that is. I mean, Isaiah 53 says it's like something you'd hide your face from. He's marred more than any man. I mean, he's beat, it's gross. You'd hide your kid's face from seeing this naked man being crucified on a cross. Well, it's not. There's nothing attractive about the act of the violent, naked death of Christ. Look what it says here in verse 33. He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. And the crowd said, well, what about the Bible? The Bible says, the Old Testament says, Christ shall remain forever. How can you say Son of Man's got to be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Okay, he doesn't answer the question, but what is the answer to the question? The answer to the question, you can jot this down if you want. Isaiah chapter 53 shows us the picture of a dying Messiah who then lives after he dies. So all the promises of an eternal Christ are true. He's going to live forever. The problem is, as they looked at it from the Old Testament, it was very confusing because like looking with a pair of binoculars over the horizon, they saw two different mountaintops. One was the first coming of Christ, and the second in the distance was the second coming of Christ. And all of these prophecies, if you're not careful, you don't know which is which. It kind of looks like maybe all of them are going to happen at the same time. How can that happen? Well, if you're going to choose, which passages do I want to focus on and memorize? What do I want on a plaque in the Jewish bookstore after Sabbath school is over? I'm going to say I pick the ones about the ruling, reigning, victorious Christ, not the suffering servant dying on a cross and pouring out his life even unto death. I don't want to talk about that one. So everyone focused on the positive one because that's what we like. We like the good news. And the good news is Christ is going to rule and reign over the nations, be in charge forever. Right? The government's going to rest on his shoulders. Right? The increase and extent of his kingdom, there will be no end. Right? That's what we want to focus on. But we don't like to look at the fact that he's going to be marred more than any man. He's going to pour out his life like a guilt offering. He's going to be crushed because of our iniquities. So they struggled with that. Well, here's the thing. They're separated now that we've kind of passed the first one and we're in the valley between the two comings of Christ. We now know the first one was he came as a suffering servant. And the next one, he comes back as a ruling king. And what we need to know is that what really matters for us, even in between the valley, is that we look back and see that the problem that I ultimately had, it all comes to bear on his death that allows me to think about his life and the life that I can have because of his resurrected life. Now, that sounds really thick in terms of theology, but let's think that through. The point is, in his death, I now have no fear of death. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is removed. How? Because Christ died, and then the exclamation point after he died was, hey, now he's alive. Why was he alive? Because the wages of sin is death, and he paid for sin. How fully did he pay for sin? The last words he says, right, as he's on the cross, he cries out to the crowd. He uses the Greek word tetelestai, tetelestai, tetelestai. What does that mean? Well, translated in our Bibles, it is finished. It's used in accounting back in the ancient days. The old CPAs of the first century might say something like paid in full. The debt is paid. Here's another word that might help. It's not the same word, but it's a related concept. It's the word propitiation. In Romans chapter 3, the concept of our salvation, which leads into chapter 4 and chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, are all about the fact that Christ has paid a penalty that we should have paid, but the death of Christ paid for that so that I can have the problem of death eradicated. I have a debt. How is it going to be paid for? By someone else paying the debt. So the debt is paid by death. And that's a death that's a grueling, horrific death. And that death means that I don't have to experience the death of God's judgment on my life. Let God judge the Son, and then God doesn't judge me. That's the picture. We're fighting death with death. And the death of death comes about because God fought death with death. Does that sound like a tongue twister? Jot it down. Number two, see death. See the death of death in Christ. Think that through. The death of death in Christ, which is not original to me. The Puritans wrote a great book on this. The death of death in Christ. John Owen, I think, was the author of that. Christ said, I'll die so that you don't have to die. We can kill death by me dying in your place. That was the picture of the propitiation, the satisfaction, the ransom, right? As Jesus said, I came to give my life as a ransom for many. So I need to look at the fact that he did die when they're saying, well, I don't think you should die if you're the Messiah. Well, he has to die because there's no eternal life for anyone but himself if he doesn't die. He has to die taking on the penalty of their sin. What's the transaction? My sin on his cross. My sin on his cross. My sin that should kill me ends up killing him instead. All of my sin, my iniquities crush him. Right? My iniquities were crushing me, Psalm 38. But now all my sin is going to be transferred to his cross. That's why the Messiah had to die. Oh, dude, if you're the Messiah, you shouldn't die. Jesus didn't even answer that. But we can answer that, and that is that the death of death required the death of Christ. Christ had to die. There was the death of death in Christ's death. You got to see the death of death in Christ. That's the picture. And how important is that? Oh, it's essential. Matter of fact, so essential, I don't know. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 3. We're looking at the brochure. It's important. This will save you the eternal debt of sin. You won't have to pay it. It's worth looking at. Romans chapter 3. Look it up. Find it. Put it into your phone. Verse 23. Do you know this verse? I'll bet you do. Romans 3:23. I do remember that verse. I went to church as a kid. They taught me that verse. Here it comes. Ready? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know that verse? Keep reading. And they are justified. Here they are, made right, by his grace as a gift. If I said someone richer than Elon is going to take all of your taxes and pay for them for the next 100 years and all the past taxes, that's all going to be given back to you with interest. Here's a payment. It's a gift through the redemption. It's a purchase. It's an exchange. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward. Now, here's our fancy word, as a propitiation, as a payment. He pays this payment in Christ by his death, by his blood. And how do you get it? Well, I got to fill out the form. And what's the form? Well, he's going to tell us in the next passage in our text in John 12, we're going to have to believe in the light. We're going to have to trust him. This is the word faith. Pistuo in Greek, it's the word that's translated faith. It's translated believe. But it really means more than just believing facts. It means that I'm transferring my trust to him, that his cross paid for my sin. This was to show God's righteousness. Think about that. God's righteousness. Because in his divine forbearance, right, he'd been very patient, very tolerant. He had passed over former sins. He didn't eradicate the masses when they sinned in every case. He was patient with them. But now he said, I'm going to pay for those sins. And I'm going to have a place where God's judgment has been. I'm going to judge Christ as though all of the sins that those people of mine have done are going to be laid on him. And that is the propitiation that now shows his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just. In other words, every sin has been paid for and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Sometimes we think, oh, if all my sins are on a brick, I just think it'll just disappear. They can't disappear. They have to be paid for. God is a just God. That modern religion does not have the theology of the cross. They don't. It's too bloody. It's too gross. It's too weird. It makes me think that God's mad at me because I'm a sinner. All of that's true. He is angry at you because you're a sinner. Matter of fact, he calls you his enemy. You're hostile toward him. But that hostility is congruent with, at the same time, it comports with his love for sinners. And in his love, we're close to it. Let's go there. Chapter 5. I mean, we should read it, right? It's right here in the Bible. Scrolling down. Verse 6, Romans 5. While we were still weak, at the right time, and it took place at a point of time. This is when Satan is going to be judged. He has no longer a claim on those who are going to be sons of light. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good one, someone would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, now we've been justified by his death, his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? That's huge. Verse 10, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Right? He now intercedes for us. More than that, we also rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation, right with God. Nothing could stop that. Now that Christ had died on a cross, the judgment of heaven was that Satan no longer has hold on these people. You now are part of God's team, sons of light, and it was all taken care of by the death of Christ. You expect firefighters to put out fires, but you know a lot of firefighters, particularly the hotshots, some of them are in our church that are out there doing that elite work. When there's a wildfire, they start fires. What? Yep, we even give them tools to start fires. They're called the drip torch, and the drip torch are out there with accelerants lighting fires. Why do the hotshot crews light fires? Well, we call them backfires. I know enough news to know that. Why? Because if I can burn this area, when the fire gets to this area, it's already burnt, and guess what? It didn't burn. Matter of fact, that's why on the old plains, when there was this big fire approaching, the wise farmers would go out and burn a controlled burn around their house or their barn, around their crops or around their animals, their cattle. They would burn a big circle. And now all of a sudden, when the plains were pushing this wildfire across the landscape, the fire would burn right around. Why? Because you can't burn where it's already been burned. And that's the point. The death of Christ is where Mike Fabares' sins were paid for, paid in full. And the whole point of Easter is, hey, ta-da, exclamation point, it was all acceptable. The wages of sin is death. Christ died. It was an acceptable death, a propitiatory death, a death that was satisfying. He crushed him. He was willing to crush him that he might reconcile us and account us as righteous, quoting Isaiah 53. That's the transaction of the cross. And without it, you got a Christ that shows up and says, I'm perfect. I'm going to lead the world. You got him leading a bunch of dead people that are going to die in their sins. Or he comes and dies and then rises and becomes a king who, after 2,000 years of drawing people to himself, comes back and sets up his... Well, guess what? Now we can have people that are in the kingdom forever. They can have eternal life. They can be like him in his resurrection. That's the whole point. But death has got to be dealt with. And it is dealt with. The death of death takes place in Christ's ministry, in particular, his death. Jesus said, last time he said in the book of John, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. He said, just like the serpent was lifted up in the desert, so the Son of Man has to be lifted up. What's the point? Like, oh, we should praise him more. No. It's about him being hoisted up on a beam. Just like the snake, they made a snake, put it up on a beam. Why? Because everyone there in Numbers was sinning, and they were sinning by something that you and I can identify with their mouths. Just like it says in James 3, easy to sin with our mouths. They were sinning with their mouths. They were saying things they should not say. They were complaining. They were moaning and groaning. And God says, I've had enough. And so he starts to send snakes to bite them and so they can suffer and die. Wages of sin is death. And in this case, physical death. And as they're dying, they go, oh, we blew it now. Please, 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 Moses, intercede for us. We want to be forgiven. And we also don't want the dizziness and the achiness and the sweating and dying of venomous snake bites. We don't want that either. So please take it away. And God says to Moses, go out there and construct a bronze snake and put it up on a pole, on a stick, and have them look at it. Now, how long is that going to take to make a bronze? If I go out this afternoon and make a bronze, it's going to take more than 10 minutes. I mean, it's going to take some time, which is weird. They're going to feel the full weight of their sickness, their venomous snake bites. They're dizzy. They're sweating. They're dying. And they're over there going, do, let's make the bronze snake. Then they get it. They put it up on a pole. Here's something God was doing in that. according to the Bible, getting people used to a mediatorial role. A mediatorial role. In other words, you have a problem with God. God's going to fix that problem by sending a mediator. That's his own son, the second person of the Godhead. He is going to be lifted up on a cross, which you really haven't seen, because even all the writers do it very calmly and carefully, and they always have nice garments covering his privates. And it's like, that's not how, it was gross. It was awful. It was ignoble. It was embarrassing. It was shameful. But just like that snake, which, by the way, if you want to be healed from a snake bite, I don't want to be staring at a snake. That's the last thing I want to look at. That's the point. A mediatorial, you want to get right with God. Here it is. In this case, you want to be healed from a snake bite. Look at this. And you know what you're going to look at? A snake. You're going to look at a snake. Stare at the snake. The problem is a snake. See, and so we look at the cross. What's the problem? I deserve God's punishment. I deserve God's justice. You look at it and do what? Trust that God in his grace will forgive you. But you put your confidence and trust there. Nehushtan, that's the word for it. The bronze snake, lift it up. Christ said, I have to get lifted up and draw all people to me. And you know what? Talk about living forever. I had to die. Had to die. Had to die. The Bible says had to die. Because you can't live forever if you don't have me die in your place. He didn't answer the question, but how does it end? It ends with, dude, the door's closing. The lights are going off. Matter of fact, here's how it really ends. You want my commentary on it? Because it's a good historical summary. This is your last chance to respond. I mean, really, that's what happens. Because the next day, they go looking for him and can't find him. He hid himself. So basically, I mean, let's read the text. Go back to our passage here. John chapter 12, verse 35. So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. They had no idea how little the word little was, right? How little it was the rest of this conversation. Walk. Now, get in line. Come. Take the next step. Walk while you have the light. I'm here. Lest the darkness overtake you. For the one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light. He's already determined and said, I'm the light. I'm the light of the world. That you may become sons of light. It changes your status by putting your trust in Christ. When Christ said these things, he departed and hid himself. You can keep reading if you want. You have your Bibles open. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. I don't know what it's going to take for you. But I would say this. My job on Easter as a preacher is to tell you, you got to respond. And I'm going to tell you this, respond today. Number three, if you're taking notes, don't delay your response to the truth. Don't delay your response. Do not delay your response to the truth. Don't. I don't fully understand it. Okay, great. Let's try and at least understand it better. But here's the thing. If you're dying of a snake bite in the wilderness and you're like, I don't really quite understand why we have to look at a bronze snake right now. I understand. There'll be parts of your theology you will not have fully nutted by the time you become a Christian. But I'm saying this, you better throw yourself on the mercy of God if you know you got a sin problem. And the only way you can deal with that is to have someone else deal with it. And the one who deals with it is the eternal Son of God. Put your trust in him and do it today. Because here's the deal. The light, it's going away. You could say, let's say Jesus is preaching a sermon there and he says, hey, you never know when your life's going to be over. You ought to respond today. You ought to trust in me. Yeah, I could hear that. How many times have I heard a preacher say that? You know, you never know, and take your life's like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. It ain't even that you should be concerned with, because some of you are sitting here as teenagers. Oh, I'm sure I'll be healthy for a long time. You might be. You might be healthy. You might live to be 114. Fantastic. Congratulations. But you know what? In the next 20 minutes, that may be the last opportunity you have, because God's going to shut the door. Bam. Because the light that you have right now is as clear as the light is ever going to be for you, and your rejection of it is going to be the end of it. God's never going to give you another opportunity. Could be. I don't know. But you better respond. You better not delay your response to the truth. Unless you think I'm absolutely wacko and crazy and all this that I'm saying is not true, it's not true, it's not true. I think I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to be just fine, and I'm going to kind of make it up as I go. Really? I don't know. All the pastors were going to a pastor's conference after this weekend, really ill-timed planning for a pastor's conference, but biggest one in the country, we're going to get on planes, we're going to go. If we all show up there and go, well, we should just get there, right? I'm like, oh, we got to go. And they say, well, where's your ticket? Well, I don't have a ticket. And mess with all that. Well, what do you mean? You can't just make this up as you go. You can't even go to the Orange County airport and expect to make your own rules to get somewhere across the country. And you think you're going to figure this out on your own? Christ has said, here's the answer. I am the answer. Trust in me. And you know what that means? you're going to be identified as a son of light. You're going to be identified as a son of God. You're going to be identified as a Jesus freak. You're going to be identified as the narrow-minded, Bible-thumping, fundamentalist Christian. Well, I don't know if you understood as that. Well, then sorry. You're going to have to identify with the Christ that saved you. You need to not be ashamed of that. I get it. The world thinks this is nuts. And the world doesn't think they have a sin problem. I don't know. Can you think they have a sin problem? I think you think they do. And I think if you're honest, you're part of that problem too. And the sin in your life should be evidence that you have a sin problem that needs to be dealt with. They reject Christ. They reject the Christ of the Bible because they don't even think they have a problem that needs to be dealt with. They're going to figure it out. Oprah's going to figure it out as she goes. And I'm just telling you this, good luck with that. You can't even figure out the airport on your own. You're going to submit to everyone there behind the counter and the guys with the blue uniforms telling you what you can and can't take through onto the terminal. I'm just telling you, you can't do it without clarity from Christ. And Christ has made it very clear. You got a sin problem. Christ has provided the answer. You need to put your trust in him. And that needs to happen today. Just needs to happen. You need to become a Christian today. You need to become a Christian today. Well, I think I am a Christian. Are you sure that you are a Christian? Really? Are you sure? Well, what about the Buddhists? What about the Buddhists? Well, we ought to go share with the Buddhists too. Because there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Muhammad didn't do it. He's dead. You understand that? Confucius, dead. Right? You understand, all of the world religions are based on dead leaders. The only one that provides the hope of eternal life is a risen Christ. And it's because he dealt with the sin problem. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say, other than you got to do this. And you need to be sure. You need to make that decision. It's the decision that God, he draws you, and you just need to settle this issue. You can't make this up. You can't figure it out. You got to respond to objective external truth and say, I need that truth to be the governing, decision-making instruction of my life. The light's going to expose it. Now you take the step. You walk while you have the light. This could be the last opportunity you have. So I'm appealing you to do that. You can make me sign up for something. I'm not going to make you sign up for anything. You're going to sign up to what you just heard. Do business with God. Deal with it. Deal with this today.
Don't delay in accepting Christ. Your eternity depends on it, and the opportunity won't last forever. You're listening to Focal Point with Pastor Mike Fabares and the conclusion of a message called Rethinking Death, Life, and Eternity. You know, with Easter coming up, this is a natural time to start a conversation with a friend or loved one about the gospel. So this Easter weekend, let me encourage you to share Pastor Mike's message with someone you know. As Pastor Mike said, this is a time-sensitive issue. You can easily find the link to share this entire message without interruption when you go to focalpointradio.org. Please also consider joining us in our mission to reach the lost with this urgent message by giving a one-time donation today. We want everyone to have free access to Mike's straightforward and accurate biblical teaching on radio and over the web. And we're able to make these broadcasts available thanks to the generous giving of listeners, just like you, who share our desire to help others hear and understand God's Word. Please donate today by calling 888-320-5885 or give online at focalpointradio.org. Or if you prefer sending your donation by mail, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. And when you contact us, consider joining our team of monthly supporters called Focal Point Partners. As a partner, your regular support allows us to plan for the future with confidence. So please, sign up to become a Focal Point Partner today when you call us at 888-320-5885 or when you go online to focalpointradio.org. And if you've never contacted us before, we'd like to send you a free gift just for getting in touch. And when you do, we'll send you a free pamphlet all about the life of the Apostle Paul. Let us know you're listening by calling 888-320-5885. Well, from an earthly perspective, Good Friday sounds like a strange name for the day our Lord was abandoned, falsely accused, and died. But from an eternal perspective, Good Friday is a day to celebrate. Find out why when you come back tomorrow for a special Easter message called Redeemed from Your Heavy Burden. That's Friday on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you.
be sure where you stand with God. Get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.